Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call of Alupar to discuss the earnings release of the fourth quarter 2020. Audio and slides of the conference are being simultaneously transmitted through the internet in the RI website, www.alupar.com.br/ir. The presentation is also made available for download. We would like to inform you that all participants are in listen-only mode during the presentation. Next, we are going to start our Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need support during the conference call, please ask help by entering star zero. We would like to inform you that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company. In other words, they involve risks and uncertainties, and they just reflect the opinion on the date they are made, and the company does not expect to update them. We have here with us José Luiz Godoy Pereira, CFO and IRO of Alupar, and Luiz Coimbra, IR Manager. I would like now to hand it over to José Luiz Godoy, who is going to start the presentation. Please, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being here in our presentation for the earnings release of the fourth quarter 2020 of Alupar Investments. I am going to go through all relevant points of the fourth quarter and also share with you some highlights that we have all experienced in 2020. I'm going to hand it over to Luiz, who is our Investor Relations Manager, to talk about the numbers, and then we go into Q&A. Well, 2020 was a very challenging year. First of all, COVID infection, which has impacted all different industries. All companies worked together towards helping fight the pandemic. We have worked within the areas where we are located, and we have also offered some general support. We invested in fighting the pandemic at a total of 6.4 million BRL. We donated over 4,000 different products for different communities, such as hand sanitizers, PPEs, some staples, food, and other items. We are also part of a program that hired doctors for Hospital das Clínicas in São Paulo, together with BTG and other companies in São Paulo. It was a program together with the University of São Paulo and Hospital das Clínicas. We donated seven vehicles, four ambulances, two trucks, and one car. We also donated some X-ray machine. We've made some other minor donations as well, benefiting 551 people in 70 municipalities in seven states. Similarly to other companies, we've tried to focus all our initiatives throughout the year to reduce, to some extent, the effects of COVID pandemic in all different areas of industry and people. We also made another donation of 3.3 million BRL supporting cultural organizations. This is something that we do yearly. Now, let me emphasize some of the highlights of our industry. A very important event in generation was GSF. Finally, in December, the rule was put forward for the agreement of GSF, something that had been discussed for a while. It means that this is going to release some payments that were with CCEE. Now companies are free to make agreements. It was a very important move to the whole industry. It had an impact in our balance sheet because we had to account all the indexation of the amounts in which we had an injunction. So we had to account for the indexation of this amount that we had due with CCE, and because of the injunction, it was not included. We just had two main BCH, Queluz and Lavrinhas, to SHPP. As we haven't signed the contract, the agreement yet, we haven't accounted for the numbers of the final agreement in our company balance. In Queluz and Lavrinhas, the two companies which were the most impacted as HPPs, we are going to have a term extension of 4 years in each of them. But as we haven't stopped waiting for the injunction, there is still one final move before we can really acknowledge and really recognize and account for the revenue. Some companies have done that, but we preferred not to do it until we have a final decision, which is going to take place in 2021, when the agreement is really formalized. Two new projects started running in operation. First project was a transmission line of from Jazeiro to Orlândia and transmission line from Jesus da Lapa to Gentil do Ouro in Bahia. A very challenging project that was highly impacted by the pandemic during a critical moment of the operation. Total unitized capex of 755 million. To a RAP of 143 with a RAP capex ratio of 19%. There was also another project coming into operation, TPE, the largest project in execution, the transmission line from Poções to Padre Paraíso 2, 334 kilometers. A second transmission line from Padre Paraíso 2 to Governador Valadares, 207 kilometers more, a substation of 500 kV in Padre Paraíso and Governador Valadares, and a capacity of 1,200 MVA, and a bay of 500 kV in Poções 3. Very successful project. We could advance it within 16 months, even though the project was highly impacted by the pandemic as well. But we concluded the project with a capex to UNITA size of 1.2 million, an RAP of 243 million, with a RAP RAP over capex of 20%. Another project which had got a environmental non-authorization, it was an old project that was launched in 2014, and it had just on hold because the environmental permit had been filed because of a problem in the airbase in Santos. There are two substations and two transmission lines, 40-kilometer transmission lines. The project was on hold, just waiting for a solution. There was a change to the flight plan process there in Santos, and the project could be resumed. We renegotiated, we agreed on the conditions offered by ANEEL to renegotiate the contract terms. The contract was agreed, and now it's being resumed, with estimated capex of 150 million, RAP of 57 million, and it's going to be implemented within 36 months. The amendment was signed now in January, and the concession is good up to September 2044. Another important event was the reassessment and the affirmation of our rating. We maintained a AAA rating according to Fitch rating, and also double B for international scale, once again reaffirmed by Fitch rating. Now, if you are following the presentation, now we are on slide nine, and we have here the status of our ongoing assets. Our next project to go into operation that you can see is TCC. The project had its physical execution of 99%. Now it's in full operation. When we prepared the presentation, it was 99%. It's a project that has been concluded and also being concluded in advance than what had been planned. Then we have the project of ESTI, which has been executed through TBE. We have already covered 53% of the construction work. All the items have been completed, including also the land negotiation, tiering, cables, all the equipment of substation. 18% is what had already been delivered in the construction site, and also receiving of metal structures 100%. Our expectation is to have this project within schedule, as planned with Enel. But we didn't want to anticipate it because we depended on the connection with another project, which has not been advanced. So we are going to finish the project within what had been planned, which is in agreement with Enel's timeline. The third project, which is ongoing for 2021, is TSM. This is a project which is moving ahead quite well. The main challenge was land negotiation. We have achieved, however, 99% of land negotiation. Right now, we have 100% completed, and also hiring is finished. The construction works have already complied with 60%. We have received all our materials, and we are in full execution, and we expect to have it completed throughout the year of 2021, and we might even complete it ahead of schedule. And finally, TCE, which is a project in Colombia, going from Bogota to Pereiras in Colombia. It is a project that still does not have its environmental permit fully issued. There was one first opinion of the agency issued with some restrictions, but there are still some points to be revisited. And this is part of the process, something expected in projects there in Colombia. So we have already presented our response concerning all the restrictions. They have identified restrictions to 10 towers. So we've already submitted our response, and we are waiting for their opinion, waiting for the final authorization. So now let me hand it over to Luis Coimbra, who's going to talk about financial issues, and then we are going to go into the Q&A session. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for being here for the conference call of the earnings release of the fourth quarter. I'm going to start with slide 11. We are going to go with IFRS, and then I'm going to go into regulatory data. Next, indebtedness of the company, also dividend sharing, and finally, I'm going to show you a slide with the shares of Alupar. Slide 11. In the first chart, we have net revenue RFR, IFRS, 2.4 as opposed to 1.3 billion, which was the fourth quarter 2019. This variation resulted primarily from two factors. First, an increase of 953 million, resulting from monetary indexation of some contracts which are indexed by IGPM, which had 19.8% from July to December 2020, and assets which started operating throughout the year of 2020. A second point was the increase of 428 million, resulting from change of assumptions of our margins of construction and OEM, and also compensation because of the formal official letter published by CVM in December 20. EBITDA was 1.6 1.69 million, as opposed to 664 same period last year. And the main impact here was 1.1 million in the revenue from transmission. Net income total 509 million as opposed to 166.3 observed in the fourth quarter 19. Now in the next slide, we can see regulatory data. Starting from net revenue regulatory, it was impacted in 93.7 million because of the start of operation of three transmission assets of EDTE. We started operating in January, ETB and TPE, which started in operation in October 20. So revenue showed 18.1% increase, amounting to 545.6 million as opposed to 462 million observed in the same period last year. Regulatory EBITDA amounted to 416.2 million, 26.9% above the 327.9 million observed in the fourth quarter 19. And the two main impacts on EBITDA were 95.6 million increase in revenue, which I have just explained, and secondly, a 18.4 million reduction of SG&A, especially because of a reduction of 7.2 million of Alupar Roading and 10.9 million of Uagala Virgin. These companies had some extraordinary expenses in the fourth quarter 19. In terms of net income, it amounted to 42.9 million as opposed to 86.2 million net income observed in the fourth quarter 19. I would like to talk about the financial result, which showed 137.2 million increase compared to the same period last year. I think the two highlights here are the following. There was an increase of 14.7 million concerning exchange variations in foreign projects, so it has no cash effect. And a second important point was an increase of 43.4 million concerning all the GSF liability of Queluz and Lavrinhas. And the liabilities in this case are just based on IGPM. It's also important to mention that the company in March this year paid fully all these liability for these two TCH or SHPP Queluz and Lavrinhas. Now let's see here indebtedness of our holding. We had debt of 816, cash and cash equivalent of 744, with net debt of 72 million. Short-term debt was 169.6, 165.5 amounted to the second parcel of the debenture, which is due now on April 5th. Concerning the index, 79.7% of our indebtedness is linked with CDI and 20.3% is based on IPCA. Now, on the next slide, we can see gross debt of consolidated numbers. Gross debt was 8.9 million, cash and cash equivalent of 2.183 million, net consolidated debt of 6,791,000. Concerning the structure of our debt, there was no significant difference. Most of our debt, 55% of it, is indexed by IPCA, followed by CDI by 23%. All the projects in Colombia and Peru finished the quarter amounting to 12% of our total indebtedness, no significant variation. And in the next slide, we can show our amortization schedule. Consolidated debt profile is still very extended. 38% of the dues will be as of 2026. Our holding will have also the sixth issuance of the debenture concentrated this year. And the seventh It will be distributed in the years 2024 and 2025. The debts of subsidiaries and amortizations are very well distributed throughout the years, and they are sized by the amount of generation from each project. In this quarter, we didn't obtain any new bridge, so we maintained our two bridge loans related to the projects in Colombia and Peru. The long-term debt of the project in Colombia, TCE, has already been signed, and resources will be released once the permit is finally issued. Now, going into the slide of profit allocation, the Board of Directors recommended distribution of 246 million, which amounted to 0.28 cents per common and preferred shares of the company, equivalent to 0.84 cents per unit. Payment will be done into three parcels, first and second one, amounting to 87.9 million, to be paid on May 31st, 2021, and August 30, 2021. And the last parcel, 70.3 million, to be paid on November 30th, 2021. Profit allocation based on regulatory total profit amounted to a total of 246, which is a payout, as we can see in the slide. Now, carrying on, we can see one of the last slides showing the performance of our shares based on the exchange market. Yesterday, we can see that the Alupar shares had a decrease of 9.19%, considering the loss of 5.41% of IEE and 3.39% of Ibovespa. Observing the chart, when the COVID-19 pandemic started here on March 18, Alupar share had its greatest decrease, amounting to 20.24 BRL. Then the share picked up again, and yesterday it closed at 20.64. Of course, it still falls far behind from what we used to negotiate in the beginning of 2020 before COVID. But the share is picking up its full strength again. Another important highlight to make is that we closed the fourth quarter with 20.4 in terms of financial volume, above 20.2 that we closed the fourth quarter 19. And this is a very important activity to us because quarter over quarter, we've been improving liquidity. So it's a very important point to make. So that, I would like to close my presentation, and now we can go into the Q&A session. Thank you very much. We agree now to start our Q&A session for investors and analysts. If you want to ask a question, please enter star one. If your question has been answered, you can remove it from the queue by pressing star two. The first question through the webcast comes from Fernando Sampaio of Brazil Capital. Considering the closure of the projects TCM for 2021, when do you expect to have the additional participation and a call on the project? José Luis, would you answer this question, please? I'm sorry, I failed to unmute myself. Well, we want to exercise as quickly as possible this call option, but we also have to follow up the covenant and also the ratio of net debt over EBITDA of the company. We have been paying our most expensive debts in the first half of the year. Now, in May, we have the sixth issuance of the debentures, which was a higher debt. It had been issued a long time ago, and it has IPCA plus 7.3. So we are going to settle this debt, and then we are going to go into other debts, including the exercise of the call for shares. So we expect to have it as quickly as possible, always following how well we can really leverage our activities in the company. The next question comes from Fernando Sampaio of Brazil Capital. Considering the payout of 110% of regulatory profit in 2020 and a decrease of leverage for 2021, what would be the expected payout for upcoming years? Well, our expectation is to increase the payout as our cash generation increases with more projects coming into operation. We expect to increase the payout in upcoming years. I wouldn't have a precise number to tell you, but especially because it depends on opportunities that we have to make CapEx investments, but we want to increase the payout in a relevant fashion. The next question comes from Fernando Sampaio of Brazil Capital. How much do you expect of IGPM revenues in the next cycle of price increase? Difficult to say because it hasn't been concluded yet. The last analysis we did, it was about 28% of year-to-date IGPM. We have nearly 40% of our consolidated revenues. Of course, there is also the inclusion of minority shareholders to be considered, but this is what we have for IGPM indexation. I don't know exactly what will be the final number, but IPCA, it's always showing a rebound effect. It's also going up. So I don't know really what's going to be the difference between those two indexes. But IPCA, in our opinion, will probably incorporate this difference of IGPM because it reacts faster in terms of foreign exchange. But IPCA catches up the variation within the long term. The next question from Fernando Sampaio. In Queluz and Lavrinhas, because of GSF thing, the energy that is there, is it available to be sold? Yes. Our contracts of PPI are just coming to an end in 2025, actually. And then from then on, we are going to have energy available to be sold. So if there is an excess of energy, if we get a four-year extension, it will be negotiated in the free market. This plant already sold energy in the free market. The next question from Rafael Nagano of Credit Suisse. Rafael, please. Good afternoon, everyone. My question concerns IT&E, saying that finally the contract is being acceptable. Can you tell us a bit more about the next steps? Any ideas of indemnification, anything along those lines? There was a recent first low-level court decision accepting the arguments of T&E. First, it went to ANEL asking for a termination, and ANEL accepted that because of environmental availability, because it could not go through the indigenous land. Then it was not approved. The next step was that the ministry did not accept the decision of ANEL, and at that time, and it was 2016, I guess, they said that, yes, we are going to have the license, the permit, negotiate with indigenous populations, and have the fluid transmission accepted. And then in 2016, as much time had elapsed, we asked for a termination and rescission. And since then, no license, no permit has been issued. It was just a low court decision, first level court decision, where they accepted our arguments. So as there is no permit so far, we cannot execute the contract, a concession contract by the government, but no license, no permit has been issued by FUNAI and IBAMA, those two agencies. So the low court decision states that we would be entitled to have a contract termination and be paid indemnity because of material loss. That would require a final sentence and a settlement where we would really define all incurred costs throughout the time and the project to finally get the indemnification. It's still a low court decision, and we are still negotiating, and we want to keep on negotiating this contract as best as we can to really transform that into reality. There are some points concerning a financial economic rebalancing and readjustments, but yes, it all depends on the permit. The first step will depend on getting this environmental permit and license. And we have always complied with our duties. We have provided data to the environmental agencies, carry on with our part of the deal, doing everything we could to really transform the project into reality. Great, thank you. The next operation, the next question by Diego Partenosk of Multicapital. Can you please tell us whether there is anything about a rebidding of T&E? Well, I've just answered that, right? It's a relevant factor to replan and financial and economic issues, how we would do that. We are working on it. And a new bidding, well, I don't know. It's difficult to say. From our side, our intention is to put the project into operation. This is what we want. But to do it, there are a number of conditions that have to be met. Let's see how the things move on. If you see an important issue is that a rebidding right now, maybe the press has been talking about that, right? But it would face the same problems. The main problem is the environmental licensing, is the permit. So this is what has to be addressed first. Until it's discussed with indigenous population and the agencies, it will be no use having a rebidding process. Question by Flavio José Pita of Clube de Investimentos. Good afternoon. Great results. When and if the company is ready to grow, when will you be ready to share more dividends, similarly to other companies in the stock market? Well, we've been through a cycle. We are still going to have some remaining investments for the coming years, but we've been growing significantly in terms of CapEx, and it means that we will have a very relevant increase in our cash generation. Once the cycle is over, we want to increase our dividend payout substantially. Unless there is another opportunity that comes to place, and we believe it's going to generate additional value to the company. We've seen very significant competitiveness in the market and very aggressive moves. But in our opinion, they do not produce any significant return on investments. But we are always paying attention to potential opportunities. Said that, the cycle of investment, it, we you don't find a cycle of investment as relevant as ours in such a short period of time. But probably as of next year, we are going to have better payout to pay. Next question by Erico Saluti of Ebbio Futurum. What is the company's appetite for projects in Brazil as opposed to projects abroad? Well, we really don't care whether the projects are in Brazil or abroad. We look for countries that have well-stabilized regulation, and regulation tends to be very similar in most countries. We've already operated in Chile, now we are in Peru and Colombia, and regulatory affairs are very similar to that of Brazil with some minor differences. In terms of projects, we don't see major difference between executing a project in Brazil or abroad. There are advantages and disadvantages regardless of where you are. Concessions, for example, in Chile, Colombia, and Peru, they are tenure concession, which is an advantage, but at the same time, it's all indexed by dollar exchange rate, which is something relevant, especially because it is based on the U.S. inflation rate. Considering that inflation tends to be going up, it might be something interesting as well. But in terms of execution, we are highly experienced. We've already run a number of construction sites outside Brazil. And from a technical perspective, there is no major difference. In addition, when you execute these projects with strong currency, you have access to credit market at easier conditions. Here in Brazil, we have limited access to credit because of the market size. And our rates are based by BRL, and there is no mismatch of currency. This is a point that tends to limit us somewhat. When we operate in strong currency, for example, the project for Colombia, we had a funding with a Japanese bank. So as there is no geographical limitation, we can have access to cash, which is much more interesting and much broader than what would be done here in Brazil. Next question comes from Fabio Rovai of Rovai Associado. Good afternoon. Does the company intend to be actively involved in future transmission auctions? Oh, yes. Alupar, and if you look through our track record, we were awarded the first transmission project in the year 2000. The first real project when nobody knew what transmission was. We had the first project file in the year 2000 with a transmission project. We've been through all stages and we have been competing with companies with different characteristics. Of our companies that participate in the first auction and are still there, we are probably the only one still in the market as an active player. We are going to keep on assessing these opportunities. Whether we are going to succeed or not, I don't know. It really depends on what we expect in terms of profitability and what we expect to have, especially CapEx cost, because we have very clear and close monitoring of CapEx. But yes, we intend to keep on taking part in auctions. Next question from Bruno Valera Soana. Hello, good afternoon. Can you please tell us about the advance in potential sales of FGTS-FI? Cannot tell you much about that because it's not on us really to decide. What we've seen is that they've announced their interest to sell them some net shares, including Alupar. But sometimes the negotiations go ahead, sometimes they are on hold. There are a number of internal approvals. Difficult to say. It has already been announced in the media some time ago, but if you ask me to tell you exactly when it's going to happen, I don't know. Even if that had been a definition, it would depend on internal approvals and all that. Once they have it all sorted out, this will be announced to the market. Next question from Daniel Travisky of Safra. Could you please tell us about other initiatives of growth of the company? Do you think about going into sun power energy? What about transmission? What is your expectation for future auctions? Sun power, yes. There is a project that we are asking for authorization. We have a project of wind energy. We have received the permit of the first part, 3,000 megawatts, to 3,000 megawatt parks, and are expanding our role in the free market of energy. Our expectation is to work in this market and do something different from what the companies are really proposing. I think we can see good perspectives of marketing solar power and wind power plants. Next question from Vitor Souza de Matos. Why do you consider regulatory and not corporate law understandings to pay your dividends? We do consider corporate law, but our parameter to the market is a comparison with the regulatory financial result. The corporate law has a number of distortions. Regulatory is very close to the regular flow with a number of provisions, of course, such as was the case this year where we had a provision for GSF but didn't account for in our revenues because we haven't signed really yet. But it's closer to cash flow. You see, the company pays as we have cash available. And it's much closer to the regulatory balance sheet. With the new approval of the law, there is a relevant differentiation concerning regulatory numbers and corporate numbers. The corporate balance sheet has a more economic understanding and not effective cash generation. Therefore, part of it, especially now that we have to include profit during the implementation of the project, part of this profit is not realized, it's not accounted and cannot be distributed because there is not cash counterpart. As the market really focuses on regulatory profit and revenues, we prefer to use this parameter to the market. But we always based on the effective profit of sustainable corporate performance. Next question from Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Can you tell us about the new projects that will be sold in the free market? What is the demand for this energy and what about availability of suppliers? There is a market boom. With the new rule without subsidies of wind and solar power as of 2024, there has been increased interest because once there is no more subsidy, prices will go up. At the same time, what we have observed, and we are trying to come up with an equation, the higher the extension of the contracts in PPA, the lower the price. So we are trying to come up with something at an intermediate level so that we can have a more attractive price And it's not only price, it's the whole project. Low, there are some projects with a load factor which are highly competitive, which is a different component that is part of the equation. Concerning suppliers, many have been talking about projects and say they are going to offer projects, but effectively, I think we're talking more about providers and suppliers. We can see some go into the market to try to come up with a project without having it ready. I don't know how this is going to go from now on. And we don't need anything. We can raise funds regardless of the conditions. So, of course, this also reinforces our position as providers. Lorenzo Pizarro-Lin, can you please tell us more about the wind power at Grass Poticar? Will it be verticalized or are you going to outsource construction? We're going to have a mixed project, 7 wind power parts, 260 megawatts of installed capacity. We normally do not verticalize any projects. In the projects where we have a stronger footprint, we have the integration. We work at an EPC. An EPC company does not have a full verticalization. So integralization is done in-house. In terms of power, wind power plant, we purchased a kit. So it's somewhat more complex, but we are responsible for civil construction, infrastructure that we integrate together with other suppliers as well. So we are also coming up with an equation to do it the best way possible. Next question from Patterson da Silva. Do you also want to go into other kind of business such as sanitation or others? Not really. We don't consider that, at least not now. This is a market with a different kind of regulation. And we prefer to focus on the electrical a part of it. It's easier for the company to have also a plant or a project outside Brazil or outside Latin America than just going into a absolutely new market that we are not very familiar with. But maybe there are other things which we have more synergy. Right now, we are not considering any specific alternatives, but things are very dynamic. Maybe in the future, we can go into different areas, but nothing has been considered so far. Next question from Pedro. Alupar intends to grow only based on greenfield assets. Not really. We've been also part of some acquisition process. We've been bidders in a number of them. As we have been growing and growing somewhat fast, we haven't been able to close any of these deals. But I think there are some opportunities in the market that might make sense to M&A and make sure that we are paying constant attention to the M&A market as well. Next question from Pedro. With FCL going up, does the company think about growing more, pay out more dividends, or both at the same time? The increase of payout is a consequence, regardless of growth, as the company is going to have an increase in cash generation. This is going to be inevitable. And growth is a result of opportunities that are created with assets and return on investments. Next question from Gabrielle from Brun. Good afternoon. I would like to hear an update about Line 1 Manaus because the contract termination is going in the courts. Are you following the same lines? Have you got any validation about how much will be the indemnification? This is going to be ascertained by an accounting specialist analysis based on all costs that have been incurred, as I told you before. Still, low court decision. And we are still negotiating a solution to really be able to build the project. Of course, we have to do everything at the same time, but we're still working to put the project in operation. Let's see what are the next steps. To ask a question, please enter star 1. Once again, if you have a question, please enter star 1. The Q&A session is finished now. I'd like now to hand it over to José Luis for his closing remarks on behalf of the company. Thank you all very much for your participation in this earnings release call. I'd like to invite you to contact us should you have any questions. Our investor relations team is at your availability. Thank you very much. See you next time. The conference call of Alupar finishes now. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good afternoon.